please, for our Old Testament reading, back to the book of Hosea, chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Hear this, hear ye this, O priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give ye ear, O house of the king, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Aven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Therefore will I pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be to Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Once again, we have, through his prophet, the Lord turns his address toward a specific people among the northern kingdom, the priests and the princes. The priests of the northern kingdom, remember, were the basest of men. They had been put in place by Jeroboam and those who followed after him, because Jeroboam wanted to develop a parallel religion in the north so that the people would not go south to worship. And yet in so doing, he made the basest of men priests. He did not follow the word of the Lord, nor hearken to God. And so when it says these priests here, these are those base priests that Jeroboam and those after him had set up. And then also notice, O house of the king, judgment is toward you. So the priests and the king come under the judgment of the Lord. You have been a snare in Mizpah and a net on Tabor. And so notice that this is the last thing any of us ought to want to hear, that the judgment of the Lord is upon us. The snare on Mizpah and the net on Tabor, these are parallel phrases, and they speak of the places in Israel where many were wont to hunt animals and to take game. Thus, these were the places where game was taken in hunting for meat, and it was great recreation for them. And the Lord says, you're going to be like that hunted prey. I'm going to turn the tables on you, in other words. The application is unmistakable. The leaders of the people, both ecclesiastical and civil, were laying snares and hunting the people of God and endangering their souls, and so the Lord then will hazard their souls instead. This is a warning then for leaders that in their leadership they do not use the people of God for advantage. It is a warning for the people of God that they do not fall prey to those, even in positions of leadership, who would hazard their souls with doctrines and aberrant practice and inattention to important things and attention to party divisions and distinctives rather than to the whole counsel of God. Very important that the people of God remember what we said a few weeks ago. I think it was last Wednesday. We were talking about not following wicked rulers. And we said, didn't we learn in 1948 at Nuremberg that it is illicit to say, I was just following orders? We don't get to say that, do we? There should have been at least a natural witness in those men when they were told to experiment on their fellow human beings, or to gas them, or to starve them, or to deprive them, or otherwise to kill them. They should have known, this is not justice. They should have known that. Even unbelievers recognize that. So, when our leaders lead us into sin and we follow them, our leaders will pay dearly for that, but so will we if we have followed them. We must not follow a multitude to do iniquity, ever, is the word of the Scripture to us. All right, so in the next part of the chapter, the Lord takes knowledge of Ephraim and Israel. And remember that Ephraim was often put for the northern kingdom generally because it was the largest and most populous tribe in the north. So sometimes you'll hear of the tribe of Ephraim and it is put for all of Israel. Here, notice that the prophet goes back and forth between those two uses. Sometimes he'll say Israel, sometimes he'll say Ephraim. There's no distinction. They are functional synonyms in this chapter. Okay? So then notice that the Lord has rebuked, but they have not listened. And this is a heavy, heavy charge. There are things that are said here that I think are very, very important. Notice what it says in verse 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. Can I say it this way? They will not be about the use of means that God has given them for their return. Rather, they are running on in the means that will help them to depart. Right? The Lord often works through various means. And, of course, He's the God of outcomes. We're the people of working those means. And if we're working illicit means or sinful means, we should expect a sinful end. And yet, if we're working upright means, we should not accept that God should bless those means, expect a righteous end. We don't worship means as though they can do the thing just by turning that handle, right? So they did not frame their doings so as to turn unto their God. Why? Listen, for the spirit of whoredoms is in them. They had a mindset, an attitude against turning, against repentance. May I say, my dear brothers and sisters, this mindset cannot be overcome by a person. It must be overturned by the Lord. And so when we find in ourselves such attitudes as horrify us because they are not what they ought to be, we should be crying out to the Lord for repentance and renewal. Only He can change a heart in that way. And often the means of His turning that heart would be us crying out to Him. They will not hearken, for the spirit of whoredom is in them. This speaks of the patterning and running in certain ways that these things become so habitual as to render us dependent upon them. Habits, comforts, patterns, if the wrong ones, can make it nearly impossible to follow the Lord, but to maintain the spirit of whoredom departing from the Lord for another spiritual benefactor instead. And so we note how these patterns and these attitudes, if left to themselves, they preclude repentance. And so when we see them in others, we want to call upon the Lord for them. And when we see them in ourselves, we want to call upon the Lord that he would overcome them. Then notice also the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. There's this statement in the larger catechism. It's haunting if you let it come home to you. It says that at the day of judgment, upon clear evidence and full understanding of their own consciences, they will receive the fearful and final sentence of condemnation. Their consciences will witness that, yes, I did not know the Lord. What does it say here? The pride of Israel testifies to his face. These things are not hidden from us. Our sins are not so very hidden from us that should we search for them, we would not find them. No, the Lord has blessed especially his people with a conscience to know and to turn from their iniquities. And so notice finally here, the Lord will now withdraw his comfortable presence from them and they will be left to their deeds. This is Romans 1 territory, right? God has given them over to their own desires and to their own lusts. So now we come to verse 8. Blow the cornet in Gibeah and trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Aven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. And so Hosea is commanded here to sound the alarm. The Lord is angry. The Lord is wrathful. He will not be silent. His fatherly displeasure against his people has been stirred up in such a way that he will make these threats against them. And this is still a mercy if God is still speaking. It is when God goes silent. It is when God begins to speak, like we read in the New Testament, to us in languages we cannot understand, that we know that judgment comes next. But in that God is still speaking to us, there is yet hope. Finally then, note how the wicked is to remove the bound. First, it is to remove the bound is to confuse the property. It is to erode the boundary between the Lord's people and those who are not. There must be an antithesis in our preaching. There must be the right way and the wrong way. There must be the way of life and the way of death. There must be the way of uprightness and truth and the way of falsehood and lies. There must be the way of God's people and the way of the world. And so notice what Israel has done. They've confused those boundaries. Because they've confused those boundaries, they have gone everywhere else but to the Lord for help. They've gone to Assyria, to Jared. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If the Lord is the maker of our souls and we're having soul trouble, beloved, let's go to the Lord. Let's not go to wizards that peep and mutter. Let's not go to psychologists and psychiatrists that don't believe in a soul. Let's not go where the Lord would not take us. Let's not go to Jareb. Let's not go to the king of Assyria if we're having trouble. Let's go to the rock from which we were hewn. Let's go to the fountain of living waters if we want life. Not to Jareb. Not to anyone like him. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and a young lion to the house of Judah. Even I will tear and go away, I will take away, and none shall rescue him. This is what it is to go to another God or to another source than to the Lord. Remember, we have the training of the prophet. Now we have the teaching of the prophet. And all the while here in Hosea, in chapter 5, remember that the Assyrian has not yet come into the borders. The Assyrian has not yet caused Samaria to fall. There is hope. There is yet time for the people of Israel to repent, to go south, to worship with Judah, to reestablish that worship in their hearts, in their desires, in their families, in their children. There is yet time for that. May I say, as we look around the ecclesiastical estate of today, we see a lot of similarities, but one of those great and blessed similarities is the Lord is still speaking to us. The Lord is still causing His word to be preached. Let us hearken then. Let us hearken and repent. With that then, let's stand and